welcome you all to Drive Me Number One Internet Daily Radio Show for the HR Professionals. And happy Monday to everyone out there who have tuned in to Drive-Thru HR and who are going to listen to the show. And here in Dallas, at this part of the world, we have a little bit of snow, but comparatively good weather, and we are okay here. So without further ado, let us kick off the show of this week with one of my close friends, Sandhya Johnson. Sandhya, welcome back to Drive-Thru HR.
Thank you so much, Nisha. I'm so grateful to be on the show.
Oh, we are so excited. I mean, personally, I'm so excited because you and I have a great relationship, and you had been on the show before a long time ago, and then that's how I got to know in the first place, and then I really wanted to make that relationship a furthermore and got in connection with you, and then that relationship developed. And I still remember, you know what, we met at the Starbucks in 2013, I guess.
Right.
2013, at the end of the year, October or November or so. And then here we are.
So, I know.
Sandhya, we both know each other a lot about. But then, to do me a favor, to my audience, if you can do a brief intro of who you are and what you do, our audience can better relate to you.
Sure, Nisha. So I'm an HR professional. I've been in this profession for 20-plus years. I come from a very broad industry experience, everything from manufacturing, financial services, hospitality. I've worked in a field in corporate HR roles, and I've got a master's in MBA and a master's in OD. I'm currently a doctoral candidate in organization development at Fielding University. And here I am now, about a year old, into starting my own consulting practice, Ingenium Consultants. So that's a little bit about me. I hope that helps.
Ooh, that is wonderful, because you know what? I still remember with a cup of coffee, you were thinking about kicking off that HR consulting companies and reaching out those prospective clients, and then we had that discussion. And here we are, 1 year later, a successful HR consultant, right? They're an entrepreneur, an Ingenium Global. It's become global nowadays. And you've gone to India for a speaking engagement, and a lot of things happening at your end. So tell us, how was that transition to you? Because you started your career as an HR professional, and then you evolved into a director role of talent acquisition and engagement, and then you kind of took a break to kick off your own consulting business. So how did it start? How did it start in the first place, and what triggered your decision?
It all happened so fast, and I know I still recall that time when I was, you know, in a crossroads and wondering what to do. But I really took a break from a full-time role. It was a huge role, large scope, $4 billion business across 55 countries. I just launched a major global RPO. I realized that I needed to focus on my PhD, and I was at that point just beginning my dissertation phase, and I knew it was going to be very involved. So I took a break about a month or two, right about the time I met you, and then realized that I had this burning desire to go back and become a practitioner. Being just a scholar wasn't the right fit for me. So I decided that I wanted to first test the waters a little bit about what it was to become a consultant. So I worked with a larger firm. I'm sure you've heard of RGP, Resource Global Professionals, so I worked with them. I did about 2 to 3 consulting jobs with them just to get a feel and figure out what I liked and did not like. And then I said, well, what else? And right about also that time, it was, I think, end of 2013 when I met you, I happened to meet with the CEO of a talent management technology firm called HR Smart. So he presented to me a very interesting business proposition of being an external professional consultant for them, and I grabbed that opportunity and decided that was the right time for me to step in and form my own corporation. So all of those different aspects, I think, were the triggers for me to make that decision.
That's wonderful. So tell us, you know, what's the difference that you normally see in yourself, comparing yourself from a corporate HR professional point of view versus an HR consultant right now? I mean, being a business pro right now.
I think a much happier life. I think this is very well suited, very well suited for me. I think a couple of things, right? I think what caused that is that I was so, the last 15 years that I've lived in the U.S., I've been so entrenched with corporate HR. So I was so into the detail. I was so into getting the work done. I was so tactical. Stepping aside and taking a short break and reflecting on what I really wanted and what my purpose and passion was and kind of resetting that internal barometer, I think helped. And I think what I like most is that this opportunity brings out my creativity. It brings out who I am as a person. And I feel I have no more masks that I wear. You know, what you see is what you get now. There is less political navigation that's needed at this point. I'm enjoying it. I'm just being me.
That is so great to hear, because most of the time what happens with a corporate HR professional is like, even though he or she is well adapted to the technological advances or all the latest initiatives, some of the politics can hinder him do that initiative, but being an HR consultant, being a different end, or being your own boss, you don't have that kind of restrictions at this point. You go ahead and do that creativity, and it's an honor that you get to do that in your client's company, and they do really look out for you. So tell our audience, what were some of the challenges that you had in those initial days? Let's say the first 6 months, yes, you had your clients in that beginning, but then in order to kick off into a full-fledged HR consultant, what were some of the challenges that you faced?
Like everything in life, there's the good, and then there's also those pain points or the challenges or opportunities, right? So the first thing that, you know, that I find is that you're always on the clock. Your client organization, especially your key contact, is able to contact you, and they don't really see the plethora of things that you have going on. So their request always comes on top, and not very different in some ways from when you're an internal consultant. There are also many stops and starts. You cannot control all of the dependencies because the client may have other priorities. So suddenly they sign up with you, and then there's a little pause, and then they come back and say, okay, now we want it all done, like, tomorrow. So there's some of that, and you really don't have control because now you're on the outside. Another thing is, I think one of the challenges that, you know, and any new entrepreneur needs to bear in mind is the fact that you have to work out the cash flow. You know, clients are always not always in a hurry to pay you, so the money comes in bunches, and you need to be prepared for that. The other piece is, which sometimes can be a little bothersome, is when people draw from you just because you are a consultant and you have that knowledge, but don't think that they need to pay. So that also is something that you need to be prepared to handle, to set those boundaries. But overall, these are things that you can work through, but there's certainly a lot of positives. You know, the fact that your credibility, like you mentioned, Nisha, the credibility value that goes up, the fact that you're discovering yourself more, you're building greater self-awareness, the fact that it's flexible, you're able to plug in, unplug as you choose, all of those diminish these challenges, you know, so you see the brighter side of it.
Absolutely. Well, it's not a charity business, folks. Money is right there on the line. So get that across at the first point itself. So, Sandhya, you know what? Throughout your journey as a leader, as your own leader, who are taking your own decision in order to become successful in your life, so we need to have a clear vision at the very beginning in order to how do you want it to, you know, what do you want it to focus, or how do you want it to launch, or who do you want it to work with? So from that perspective, you know, how did you finalize? These were some of the key areas that I really need. These are some of the key areas that I really, really needed to focus, or these are my plus points. You know, or the type of projects that you are wanting to work with your clients, or you are currently working with your clients right now. Tell us a little bit about how was that, you know, how was that transition for you to from a beginner of HR consultant to an expert level? This is the things that I'm expertise for, and this is the thing that I wanted to render.
Yes, absolutely. So great question, Nisha. I think the first thing that I have to do is, I have to give credit to my father because he's one of those, you know, vision, mission, values kind of person. It seems old school, but it's so current and so true. It's important to sit down and really figure out your purpose. And for me, my purpose was a happier life, but greater good for organizations and greater good for talent. I found that I did an introspection on what I think my strengths are, and I felt that I would be able to add most value and build the strengths of the HR leaders and CEOs of organizations, especially mid-sized organizations, where the strength is really, you know, the traditional HR department that's so focused on the day-to-day that they don't have time to build their post-hire strategy. That's where I can lend a helping hand and do some good. So that was a niche that I figured, right? So mid-sized organizations, organizations that did not have resources that are focused on post-hire strategies, and then to be able to help them to rent my expertise, right? So they don't necessarily need to add an entire headcount, but they could rent my expertise, as well as be able to do some analytics. I'm strongly slanted towards process, analytics, and technology. So those are the three things that I wanted to offer my services in. So the purpose, the mission, and then the values was important too. The other big piece is to tap into, for me, was also once I had formulated these vision and mission and values, I focused on also talking to people who were in the field and who'd been successful and had been operating for at least a decade, right? So I identified a few individuals, had spent some time with them, to just draw from them because they've gone through a hard knock school. They've figured it out. They have some golden nuggets to pass along. And I was right there with them asking them what the experiences were, how they got started, because I wanted to also, you know, be able to learn from their stories and apply that and, you know, kind of bear that at the back of my mind as I went through my journey. So I think those two were some of the things that I had to do right up front.
Right. So, Sandy, let's do a quick reset before we ask more questions to you. We almost reached halfway through. So, folks, you are listening to Try to HR, and we are here with our wonderful, wonderful guest, Cynthia Johnson, and she is talking more about the secrets of successfully starting an HR consulting business, and she is the managing director of Ingenium Consultants. Follow her on Twitter at Ingenium Global. So, Cynthia, you kind of talked about, you know, the three areas that you really wanted to focus. Those were process, analytics, and technology. So I guess analytics is too early for some of these startup entrepreneurs or probably mid-size organizations out there. So what are some of the challenges that you are facing at this point in order to convince your client the value of analytics and how far they can use that in order to become a successful company?
You know, that's a great point, and it's so true. We're so early, and I think we talked about it too, Nisha, when we met. There's a lot of buzz right now with big data analytics, and I'm so interested with all of the thought leaders that are emerging in this field. But practical, from a practical perspective, there are a lot of companies that have never tested the waters. They're very new to it. So one of the things that I'm trying to do is, as part of my academic world as well, and I try very hard to link the two, you know, trying to offer some initial pro bono pilot programs with clients who are interested to say, let me come in and give you 2 to 5 hours of my time to explain to you the power in analytics. And let's begin small. I think the idea is not to overwhelm HR with, a whole bunch of very integral or complex statistical models, but really to show how, you know, you can sustain with some basic fundamental analytics, such as maybe it's about creating a performance dashboard for your critical talent. So next time you are sitting at the table with your business and talking about promotability and succession planning and career development, you're able to take a very holistic, broad view and add value, right? So, or maybe it's trying to look at the span of control within your organization and to determine if your own design is correct. Analytics can play a huge part in kind of showing where this excess fat in the organization, what you can do to lean it out and spread it out. So just understanding, I think the primary need before we go in with the analytical tools, I think, is to understand the pressing needs and demands of the business, and then aligning and providing HR leaders and CEOs the perspective of how analytics can get them there in a more, you know, in a much more powerful way, right? So, yeah, I'm actually, believe it or not, I've got a great company in India that I'm partnering with called Raychem RPG. I met the HR leader while I visited India in December, you know, a very progressive HR leader. And we've had conversations, and we're thinking about working together. So I'm hoping that pans out so we can actually use them in as a case study of what can be done with analytics.
Wonderful. Well, I'm actually taking a segue to those analytics part, and we'll come back to your HR consulting journey. So, you know, one of the interesting trends that I've seen over here is when we talk about HR analytics, some of the bigger or larger organizations, they are hiring data scientists because HR professionals, they normally are not a data geek in the first place, so are searching for a third person to analyze the data. So what are some of the basic tips and techniques that you would provide to a manager or to even the HR professional in a mid-sized organization or even a startup organization to kind of see that HR analytics in the first place?
So the where I would start, Nisha, would be to first kind of map out, don't go to technology first. So that's the first don't, right? One of the biggest mistakes I think we make is we immediately try to see, okay, who are the technology vendors out there who can quickly, with whom I can load my data, press a button, and generate some reports. I don't think that should be the first step. The first step should be quite the contrary. It is to really sit down with your business and see what is it that the business wants to do. You know, so for example, If your business leaders are questioning or wanting to grow, right, and they want to expand, but they want to determine what the today's organization is as is and figure out what the future organization needs to be, then that needs to be the area that your organization should focus on. Design the process, you know, and if you don't have the capability to do so, draw an expert. Call me. So we can sit down and to kind of design what the analytics need is, go back to the business and tell them, okay, would this kind of analytics help you provide you a good reference or data point to get you to help make the decisions? Once you've drawn it out on paper, now go find, I mean, there's tremendously good software out there, lots of great tools. Then find a match. Find a technology that can, and also before that, even try to figure out that you have the data, right? I think one of the biggest problems we have is that the data is so scattered in our organization. So try to pull the data from various sources, make sure that you have the ability to get the data into the system or technology or the tool, and then go from there. Don't jump too fast. Take a gradual, go one analytical at a time. Don't go with too many things to do, and then you're going to come back with very poor results. That would be my advice.
Wonderful. That is a great tip right there for all of our audience who are kicking off their HR analytics initiative. So, Sandy, tell us, what are some of the lessons that you learned throughout your journey of this 1 year of HR consulting business?
Good Lord, I have learned so much. I feel like I have grown 10 years.
Well, glad to hear that.
Well, So I think one of the biggest learnings for me is that it's about building relationships. It's about being real. And let me explain those two. I think building relationships is the key, right? It's all about partnerships. And I have to give send out a big shout out and a big thank you to Mark Hamden at HR Smart for really, you know, sourcing me and calling me and tapping me on my shoulder. It was great because a good alliance, a good partnership goes a long way. And this relationship is something that went back 7 years ago. So, you know, keep those relationships. They're valuable. And even as you meet each client relationship is not that one time. It's not a one-time shot, right? It's a long-term engagement. The second thing is being real. One of the things is I was so concerned about myself. I was questioning my own confidence. But as I started going into client sites and talking to everyone from the CEO to the HR VPs and, you know, really fascinating people, I realized that it's me. It's be genuine, be you, because at the end of the day, it's not that, you know, we're not competing in terms of knowledge. It's just that we're supporting each other and I'm there to help. So that's one of the other big learnings that I've learned, to just be me.
Right. So, and you've always been a great advocate of thought leadership, right? Because I've always seen that throughout your writings or even your LinkedIn profile and even when you speak and write, that word, I can relate to you. So how do you actually maintain that thought leadership as a consultant in your business?
That's a good question. One of the things that I've, and I think academics has helped me a little bit in that regard, is I set some personal targets for myself, right? If I want to emerge as a thought leader, I'm not quite there. I have a long way to go. But my desire is to emerge as one. I find that helps. One of the things that I've target that I've set for myself is to at least publish one or two journal articles every year. Last year, I submitted two journal articles to conferences in India, and I went and presented them. A little bit out of my comfort zone, but definitely kind of stretched my thinking, stretched my writing, stretched my speaking and presenting abilities. Second thing is that I've really continued to maintain links with academia as well as practitioners. I go out of my way to seek out people. I read blogs and I try to connect with certain thought leaders and I reach out to them to see if I can, you know, what I can learn from them, what their advice is and what thoughts, you know, and what are some of the trends that are happening. Hey, and you introduced me to social media, so I have to thank you, Nisha. But the power of social media is phenomenal, and that's one of the things that has helped me to do that as well, to just step out there and to connect with people, to engage in some conversations. I try to participate in 1 to 2 tweet chats just to kind of extend myself a little bit, to get into the conversations, to engage, and to read blogs and to stay current. Those are things that I have found to be useful.
Thank you. Thank you for that shout out. So we have about 5 minutes left, and I really, really want to ask you this question, because to those out there who are listening and wanting to start their own HR consulting business, what are some of the advice that you wanted to give it to them?
This statement is said to my was something that my husband tells me every day, and I think has helped me tremendously. And he always tells me, if you have a passion to pursue, then you must pursue that passion. And that's my advice. If you feel really passionate about it, go for it, right? And we talked a little bit about this, but figure out your niche, find out what makes you great. And what is it that, what's unique that you have? What skills is it that differentiates you from the rest of the pack? And then use that, leverage that skill set. And mostly, I want to also say that, leverage partner organizations. I think that's a great way to get you off the ground. I found that to be particularly useful. And I would say the same, I would provide that advice to anyone who's new in the area that's wondering how to get started.
Great. So I should definitely, you know, give a shout out to my brother, Matt Johnson, out there. So we know that, you know what, your career is a product of what you and your spouse make room for. So what's the role of your spouse in the success of your career?
Everything.
I mean, in this HR consulting business.
I think without him, this would not be possible. So I have to give him a lot of credit. He's very patient. The fact that, you know, I went through ups and downs in terms of, you know, going back and forth, should I not? He's been there every step of the way. But a lot of times, I think the biggest support is not saying anything, listening, right? Just having a spouse who listens to your issues and provides, ask the right questions so that you can go back, reflect, and is able to, you know, support you. And like you said, that phrase that he says reminds me every day that I'm meant to do this. I think that goes a long way.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. And to the HR professionals out there who are doing their best work in those trench HR on a day-to-day basis, those corporate HR, what do you suggest for them in order to become an internal HR consultant so that they can view the corporate from a different point of view?
So I would say that make sure that you work on your diagnostic capacity first, right? That's a very key and important skill set that we, if you want to emerge as an internal consultant, that's important. You need to be able to, just because you're in the rut, you don't see the entire situation or the context, take some time to actually step back and take a, you know, full spectrum view of what's going on with the situation. And that's a skill set I think that we need to work on as well. You know, do your diagnostics right. Take some time to ponder over the deeper issues, and then go into it by providing a holistic and a system-wide solution. Right, so that would be my big advice to internal consultants.
Right. And your final thought to the upcoming HR professionals who are just about to land their HR job?
Oh my goodness. HR is an awesome field. It's changing shape and form. It's going to look very different very quickly. I want to say to the young generation, hey, step into social media. It's huge, it's big, and it's the fastest way to learn, get connected, get plugged in, and just get into analytics. Hey, that's a big field that's coming up. There are lots of great information, but very few doers. So be a doer, be a thinker, and be a master connector via social media.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Cynthia. Thank you so much for joining with us today on Drive Through HR and sharing your lunchtime and your wisdom on launching an HR consulting business. So where do you want our audience to connect with you? We know your Twitter handle is Ingenium Global, that is INGENIUMGLOBAL, that is Ingenium Global. And where else would you want our audience to connect with you?
That's definitely my primary connection point. If not, there's a link on my Twitter handle to my LinkedIn page. So Sandhya Johnson, Sandhya, last name Johnson. That's simple and straightforward. Either of those two places works for me. So I'm looking forward to connecting with anyone who has questions or is interested to learn more.
Absolutely. Well, Sandhya, thank you so much again. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of the day with your family because it's cold out there, so stay warm. And thank you so much, everyone, for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sandhya. Bye-bye.